live on Blog Talk Radio. The Candid Frank Live Show.
Candid Frank Live.
With
about half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill.
John the Argo Boat Logo Granger.
Candid Frank Live.
Christopher Lion's Den Jones. Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medine. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th Man, John Inch. That's right. Just a couple more sleeps and we get to watch them play in earnest. Now, unfortunately, the Argos will not be at home the first week. They will again, as they did last year, play a preseason game in Edmonton and then follow it up with a season-starting game in Winnipeg. Now, I don't like the way the year ended up last year, so I'm kind of hoping that things change a little bit. What can we talk about today? Let's take a look at what they're saying on the internet. What are they saying on the internet? Well, they're saying that the Argos might be picking up somebody that the Alouettes let go. And there were a couple of big names that were released. One of them I'm looking forward to seeing. Maybe he might make it back to Toronto, not to name names. But I guess, you know what? I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to take in the fact that football's back. There's actually stuff to talk about. I can actually maybe even turn off my mic and let it just go. Maybe we'll try that. Christopher, stop cheering. Okay, so, oh man, I'm tired, man. Have you ever done landscaping in your home? It's terrible, terrible, terrible. Shovel and wheelbarrow. Uphill, downhill, clay. What a nasty stuff to dig. Yeah, back to football. Anyway, so I'm really thrilled. We went to varsity, and as mentioned before, hell froze over. Argo fans were told to be quiet. They're too loud. That, to me, we've made our season right there. I can pack in my season tickets, take my Argo jerseys off, and just hang them. We're done. We're done for this year. Somebody actually said the Argo fans cheer too loud. And a couple of Hamilton Tiger Cat fans were there to witness the moment. One that will be etched in history, along with World War II and other some such things. But anyway, let's get to the telephones. Let's get to the telephones. Oh, you know what? Wait, I don't have to try and phone John because he said it's his birthday. Happy birthday, John. I think it was his birthday. Or is he just trying to shill for a gift? Well, anyway, happy birthday. His cousin's taking him out for dinner. He says he may be able to call, when he gets back, from his eats. My wife and I, we really treated ourselves today. We had Kentucky Fried Chicken with gravy. With gravy. Anyway, okay, so anybody ever had chicken and waffles? Well, what are chicken and waffles like? I hear they're really good. Okay, who should we start with? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
How y'all guys doing tonight?
Your mic's the only one that's up, Mike.
Oh, okay. Well, what's up, Frank? How you doing, bro?
Good, good, good. Tell me about your week and how things have been going. How's the trucking business?
Man, things have been going real good. You know what I'm saying? Kind of sluggish, a little tired, but, you know, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? And right now, I'm on I-20 heading west, about to head through Atlanta and heading toward Louisiana.
And you were in Bama the other day, the home of is it Bama? Is Bama the home of chicken and waffles?
No, I'm going to tell you, California was the home of chicken and waffles. And I'm going to tell you, if you had never had it, oh, man, it's something you got to try, man, especially when the syrup gets on the chicken and you bite into it. Oh, man, it's the best.
Now, can I make my own waffles and throw some Kentucky, some KFC on it? Or do I have to use the Swiss Chalet stuff? Oh, you wouldn't even know what Swiss Chalet is.
Make your own waffles and actually fry your own chicken, whether it's the wing dings or the leg, thigh, breast, and wing. It don't even matter. Just make sure it's seasoned real good, and you're good, man. You're good.
Good, good. Okay. So very quickly, how excited are you? It all starts on Thursday.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited, man. Football season's now here. I get to watch me some CFL. I get to go to some games this year. Man, I'm pumped. I can't wait to CFL kickoff 2014. Let's go, Montreal.
There it is. All right. So, by the way, what team are you rooting for this week?
I'm rooting for the Montreal West, man.
I love pulling your chain. You know, Mike can't make up his mind what team he's cheering for.
Nah, man. You know, it's week by week with me.
You know what? It probably just depends who's on TV.
There you go. There you go. That's it.
Okay. And our sidekick, Mr. BC Lion.
Greetings.
And salutations.
What's up, Chris?
They do that on another radio show.
That's how I do that normally.
Do you?
Greetings and salutations. How art thou?
Forever cramped.
All right, what's up, Chris?
Hey, Michael.
I'll ask you the same question. How pumped are you?
I am so stoked. It's unbelievable. I've been bouncing off the walls for days. This is just absolutely awesome.
You know, one of your scouts paid me an honor today. I was embarrassed almost. Michael P. McCarthy, former GM of the Toronto Argonauts, the dude that worked for John Candy, Bruce McNall. And of course, Wayne Gretzky. And I met him at the Hamilton thing, and he sends me a text. Goes and he was really nice. He said, "I love your passion." Okay, thank you. I mean,
cool.
You know, it wasn't like a four paragraph dissertation on the value of Frank, Mr. Candid Frank.
No.
But I'll tell you, he made me feel like he appreciated what we do, and that's always nice, and that's something that you got to be. You know, if you're new to the CFL. You really got to get in the groove where basically we're all in the same boat. That includes the players. I just didn't think we could include managers as well, but apparently managers fit in the same category. Former GMs. I mean, the guy could be an egomaniac. You know, this is the guy that brought Rocket Ismail to Toronto.
Mm-hmm. I did get a message for you to phone Charles Cliff.
Yes, yes. You know what?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what?
Just pass it on.
No, please do. The problem is as you might guess, my Facebook inbox gets kind of full.
That's why I'm helping out.
And I always appreciate it, Christopher. I don't take it in any other way than you meaning to help. So, this week, how are things been going with you? The daughter settled into being married and stuff like that?
Yeah, you know what the biggest thing here, Frank, and you will be able to relate to this. The
Uh-oh.
Biggest thing for me was I was talking to her on Facebook, and her name changed. It went from Chanel Jones to Chanel Robertson. And that was a defining moment for me that my little girl was now married. It had nothing to do with the wedding or anything else. I was there. I witnessed it all, and I knew that it had happened. But she actually changed her Facebook profile. And
wow.
I went, wow.
So it didn't feel like betrayal or anything.
No, no, no. It just came home.
Yeah.
And realized that, man, my daughter's actually, she's married. She's gone.
Yeah.
No, she's not gone. She's still close to home, but you know what I mean.
Do you want a Kleenex? Do you need a Kleenex?
No, I'm fine.
You sure?
I'm good, bro.
Because I know how emotional you can get.
No.
You know, that soft-hearted guy that you are.
You got me badly confused.
Totally confused. All right, let's move up the ladder here. Well, you know what? Let's go.
Don't forget your phone calling.
I'm trying to. It's Schmidt.
Yeah.
It's Schmidt.
Storm sounds better though.
Schmidt. Schmitty.
Storm.
Storm.
How did you get Storm anyhow? I always wanted to ask you that. Where did this Storm come from?
I changed my name.
This is a real thing?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is really your name? Is this like an homage to inclement weather?
No, it wasn't a birth name. It was just a change name.
Ah, okay. Is it short for Stormy? Stormin?
No, just Storm.
Oh.
But whatever,
okay.
whatever
floats your boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever fancies your tickle.
Yeah, okay, all right.
If you was a WWF wrestler, man, that would be a famous name, bro.
Thanks, bro. Yeah.
See, call him Stormy because if you called me Chrissy, I'd pummel you. So I would never call him Stormy.
Well, it's just like calling Frankie, like Frank or Frankie or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's just, you know, I don't know.
Became
really
a term
don't
of
like
endearment.
You can call me Francis.
Francis.
Yeah. Or what my mother calls me, Francesco.
I won't tell you what my mother calls me because you told me not to swear on the radio.
Is that where it all started? No, just kidding. Okay, now I guess this might be. Oh, this is Mr. Cliff now. Mr.
Yes,
Cliff, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well.
Charles.
How are you guys all doing?
Charles in charge.
That's me.
So how was your week? And by the way, I'm going to go back to the guys that didn't ask this question, and I'll ask you. I got a little bit sidetracked. How excited are you? The season's upon us.
I'm counting down the minutes till Saturday at 3 o'clock, so... I'm already got my barbecue out, getting it ready for tailgating.
Now, what is your specialty of the day?
You know
on the
what?
Barbecue?
I kind of decide in the morning what I'm in the mood for. Sometimes it's hot dogs, sometimes it's burgers, sometimes it's chicken. I kind of wake up in the morning. I kind of judge what the day is like, and I'm out to the store.
To give your tummy a little poke, to sort
exactly.
Of like, what's it in for? What does it want? What does it
basically.
Need? What you're in the mood for?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't get a chance.
For a weenie.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to ask you, Storm. How excited are you about the season to start?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Not too happy about the way Calgary played, but I'm happy it's going to start. So.
Well, listen, we will console you all season, and we'll make sure that you don't teeter on the edge of, you know, we'll make sure some medication is available.
I want Kevin Glenn back.
You, no kidding. And you know what Christopher's going to say? No effing way. He's quite happy with him and his troop.
I said before, it's still preseason. So, you know, there we go. It's done now.
Very true. Very true. And one of my favorite guys on Facebook, one of my best buddies, Ty Cats suck.
Oski hui hui. Everybody blows like an ogle.
Oski pee wee.
What's up, boys?
So, you might as well answer the same question we've all
Hey, man,
answered.
I'm so pumped. I even got my PBO set for Wednesday night, because at Wednesday night at 7:30 it all starts. They got a Grey Cup preview and then the top 50 plays. And then after that, they got a preseason special. Not all Stoats
so
Wednesday
does
night.
Does the Grey Cup preview include the Argos being there? Or?
Oh, no. This is probably... It's called actually...
Yeah, they're going to be in the front row.
It's called the Journey to the Grey Cup, so it's probably last year. than
top
50 CFL players.
On that note.
But at
8:30
they have a CFL season preview special, so that should be good. From 8:30 until 9:30, and then the show starts at what? 10 o'clock.
Right.
Perfect.
Hello, Kelly.
How you doing, guys?
How are you doing?
We were just talking about Saskatchewan.
Just sitting here on the couch with Davey, and I think he wants to say hi to you guys. Can you go ahead, Davey?
Hi.
Oh. Hi, Davey. Davey, can you do me a favor? Can you give Daddy a little slap upside the head?
He did.
Here's a good thing to learn to say. Go Lions.
Go Lions. There you go.
Hey,
can you say that, Dave?
Hey, Dave, can you do your favorite fan cheer? What's your favorite team?
Well, my favorite team is Rough Riders.
Rough Riders? I thought
the Rough Riders? What a surprise.
Kids speak the truth. Hey, man.
Kids say the darndest things.
Yeah, and let's just make sure the adults don't say stupid things right now, okay?
Absolutely.
Other than me. All right. How excited are you, Kelly? We know Davey's excited.
No, we're both pumped, sitting on the edge of our seats until Wednesday night. And, going to kick off on Wednesday. We got to wait all the way till Sunday in Ryderville for our games. But, I'm interested in all the games, so I'll be taking it all in.
Yeah, you sure will. And then finally, my fellow Argo and armrest sharer, Mr. Richardson, how you doing, buddy?
Argos. How you guys doing?
Fuck.
Practicing. Practicing.
Oh, was I too loud?
Yeah, I think you were. Hey, did you notice I posted the "we're too loud" video?
I saw that.
Yeah. Hey, you know who I think that was?
Just
saying you motivated
us. Really,
I think that was Claudio actually. Frank? Was he all dressed up in war paint?
No.
No? Okay.
No. But I forget the guy. I know the guy, the Ticat fan that was sitting in front of us. Hefty fella. Good-looking dude.
Yeah. The guy with the hat? The guy with the baseball hat? You told him to look up?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, man. Bonjour. How you doing, Robbie?
Yeah, because you guys are really choppy. It sounds like you guys are all robots or something.
We go in peace.
Now, have I forgotten anybody?
Go.
Rob J. Emery, are you in here? You're supposed to be in here, buddy.
Hello?
Oh, he's going to bed.
Oh, I can hear you now. That's better.
Good.
All right, so if I've missed anybody, please give Chris a call. Chris is really good at keeping track. I'm going to close all my windows so that when new windows come up, I will see them. Well, at least my wife will see them because they're on the flat screen, and I'm looking at. I'm looking at Brandon Taman. So, I guess the first question is, since it's not yet tomorrow for football, it's still we have after tomorrow another show before we talk in seriousness. I have to remind everybody that on CFL is a decision has been made, which I agree with. And Mike, please correct me if I'm wrong. And Christopher has invested a lot in this as well, even though he's not in the group now. But it's open, by the way, Christopher, to anybody to take part. I just wanted to make that point for everyone who is or is not in CFL. Is a decision has been made to have it open to anyone who wants to participate. Right, Mike?
Yes, sir.
And you get to make your picks, and it's a pretty aggressive and interesting situation because the system that Christopher and a few of the other admins put together, I'm not taking any credit for this at all. I was just a passenger in this one. We actually are going to be able to have, and this goes for everybody within and without the CFL is group, literally, I don't know, I guess as many as thousands can participate, and the maintenance of the of the page, if you want to call it that, for the people predicting who will win each week and a score will be tallied, is a pretty amazing.
That?
Yeah, it's
awesome.
You know,
awesome.
I'm really proud of the guys who put this together.
Watch
I think Derek Christopher
to be on top.
What wasn't Derek Christopher at the heart of this? Because I like to make sure we give credit to the right people.
It's on what? The pool?
The pool, yeah.
That one.
It's been Derek, Christopher, Donna, and myself.
Awesome.
Okay, good.
Great job. Great job.
So tell us a little bit about the pool, and then so that we make sure you got to make your picks. You have up until, I guess, an hour before the game to be able to make your pick, and then it's locked in, right?
Yeah,
that's great.
That's what I read. And then you can make them too, right, boys? And then switch them during the week if you want.
That's
like
right.
What you pick isn't necessarily locked in
until an hour
right.
before.
Right.
Yeah.
Until an hour before
right.
the game.
Yeah.
Now is this that you guys are talking? Or you just picked the teams.
All right.
Yeah, not the scores. The scores are not relevant. Only that you decide who you think. For example, when the Argos beat Winnipeg, I'll be 1-0.
There's a bold prediction.
Well,
it's hopeful anyway. You got to have faith.
Yep.
Can't lose that. I give you that much, Frank.
Well, thank you.
No
you know, and I will pay my respects to Hamilton with a lot of hope and charity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You don't have to show us no charity.
But somebody's going to have to.
Leave that at the goodwill.
All right. So, Kelly, so basically, how many people can take part in this pool?
Well, the gentleman who's actually administrating the pool, I want to mention his name, and it's a
Please
bit
do.
Of a...
That's...
It's Rod Przybylski, and he's actually been kind enough to, you know, take the lead on this and basically duplicate a pool that he's been running for years. Now, if you'd like to find it right now and you're near your computer or your mobile phone and listening to the show, you can just Google CFLIZ or IZ, whichever one you'd prefer, and PRED, P-R-E-D, short for predictions. And that will bring up our unique web page, and you can create a new user ID before you just try and randomly log on. And then once you've created your ID, you can log on. And once you're in, you'll see what Bruce was saying. You can actually make your entire season's picks right now. Like, you can fill it all in, go to the very bottom of the page, save the picks that you've just made, and then you can just not worry about it for the whole season. Or you can go in, like Bruce said, and, you know, modify your picks for in case of somebody returning from injury or somebody having been injured during the week. Or
you
maybe
just have a dream that night.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, maybe just a suspicion or whatever. But anyway, that's about the pool in a nutshell. And if you haven't heard of it, you haven't been paying attention on CFL is because we've tried to put the word out there. And we're really actually at this point probably only about 200 poolsters deep. So
that's
I'd like
it.
To get a lot more people entered in the pool. And, yeah, feel free to publicize it for us.
Well, whoever's controlling the is wall, Frank, why don't they pin that post for
it
a couple
is.
Of days?
It
is, eh?
I think
yeah.
it is.
All right, cool.
Yeah, it is pinned.
All right.
Yeah,
keep
it is pinned. All right, so the biggest prediction, and let's get down to brass tacks here. I guess we can start. It's only Monday. I don't know if we should save this question for Wednesday, but the team that won the Grey Cup last year, Brandon Taman's team, a team that Brandon Taman says still needs a little bit of work. He's not 100% happy with the 46 that he has. You know, they're a little bit concerned with deciding which running back to use. So Kelly, I'll start with you. Why will your team repeat, and what do they need to do to repeat? Or do you have major concerns with them actually making it, you know? The playoffs shouldn't be a problem, in my opinion.
I agree.
Define it yourself.
Yeah. You know, these guys that we have in management here, just they don't play it 1 year to 1 year. They do have a plan moving forward every year. And this year is a bit of a tricky year with the expansion draft for Ottawa. And if there were no expansion draft, we still had a lot of contracts up, unlike BC, who actually didn't have very many contracts up at all. They'll have a little bit of an issue next year, perhaps. But I think the Riders will just keep rolling. And from the looks of the schedule, I think we could start with a bang again this year. We always seem to have a little bit of a mid-season slump. That's something that's just as characteristic about the Riders lately as Gainer the Gopher, you know. So there's a lot of hope here. Fans are a little bit complacent, call it a Grey Cup hangover. You've seen the attendance numbers. The ticket just isn't quite as hot. So the team's going to be asked to do some really amazing things to, help drive tickets and keep interest up and stuff like that. I think we'll be just fine. And as far as running back is concerned, we got two guys, Allen and Costin, who, you know, they're not Corey Sheets, but they've got their own styles. They've been effective in the preseason, and it's going to be exciting to see them become Rough Riders. I mean, they're not entrenched yet, and that's what we always kind of love watching, is watching guys endear themselves to the community by playing well on the field. Yeah, and that's everything. Yep. What about you guys? What are you thinking about the Riders? Seems like Frank's taking a break.
Well, for me, I think they're going to – I've got them to finish third in the West. And part of the reason is I think they've had a bit – they've lost some really key parts. When you look at a guy like Dressler, that's a big – he was a big part of the offense. He really was Darian Durant's go-to guy. G. Roy Simon's gone. Now, he wasn't as prominent last year, but he's always a guy that seemed to come through and get a big catch for him when they needed. Look at the two touchdowns in the Grey Cup. They've had some turnover, and typically, too, when teams win a championship, like you said, Kelly, sometimes there is that bit of a Grey Cup hangover, and I think it could – I think they're still going to be good. I think they're going to be fighting. I see a three-way race for the top of the West between Calgary, BC, Saskatchewan. I think that Saskatchewan, because of these factors, personally, they're going to be a little bit lower down, so I think they're going to be third. But, I mean, that to me, the West is a dogfight between those three teams.
All right, fair enough. How about you, Mr. Storm Schmidt?
About what, Saskatchewan?
Yeah.
Oh, God, do we have to talk about that? Anyway,
no.
So.
No, it's okay. I just turned your mic off and move on to the next guy. How about you there, Bruce John Inch?
You want my comment about the Rough Riders?
Yeah.
I think they'll finish second in the West behind BC. I think, that's all I think. I think they're going to have their first loss on Sunday, obviously.
Revenge is sweet, isn't it? It's best.
Well, absolutely. Cool. You know, and even that question was asked in the interview today with Austin, if you guys, that gives them extra motivation. He said, of course, but you got to, you know, players also have to put their emotions in check and get out there just to win the game. You know, go off and that's about it. You can move on to
the next game. Do a number on him. Mr. Richardson, what do you think?
I think I'm going to agree with Bruce on this. I think Saskatchewan's going to finish behind BC, be second in the West. Nothing really particularly stands out for me on players or anything like that, but I think they got a half-decent team. I don't think they have last year's team, but I think they're gonna do all right. In my opinion, to what I've seen in so far.
As a fan, how important is it for Saskatchewan to be as competitive as they were last year, or are you ready for another team to be, like, as a fan, do you think it's good or bad that Saskatchewan repeats or has an opportunity to repeat from your perspective?
I would never say that it's a bad thing for any team to repeat, because you always want to see your own team repeat, so I'm not going to say it's going to be a bad thing for the CFL. I think in the opinions of other fans, could be a different story.
I'm just curious. You're an Argo fan. I mean, so am I. I mean, yeah. I would love them to make it to the Grey Cup, and we play them and kick their behinds up and down
the field.
Well,
let's put it this way. I don't want to see another host team win a Grey Cup, because it's going to bring up a whole other controversy and conspiracy.
You mean
if we have another host team win the Grey Cup?
Well,
sorry,
the irony is that Chris is up next, and Mike, you're on deck. Christopher, what do you think of Saskatchewan's chances of repeating? You might be making dinner. Mike, you go ahead.
No, sorry, never mind.
Yeah, you. No, go ahead. Go ahead. You were muted, weren't you? Not by me, though.
I turned off my mic so that I wasn't making too much noise here.
Yeah, and I'm trying I'm trying to turn off guys' mics when they don't need to talk and blah blah blah.
Yeah, I think Saskatchewan's chances of repeating are 0-0. No disrespect to them at all, and I don't think they're going to be as bad as what a lot of people think they're going to be. Yeah, they lost 20 players, but they still got a very key component in there, which is their O-line, which is highly important in this league. Edmonton found that out last year. They had an O-line, they would have been contending for the Grey Cup. but, you know, it's a lot of pieces that went away and a lot of key pieces that went away. And I didn't see them replaced really well. They were replaced, and Kelly will tell you that they've got receivers that they brought in. They've got running backs they brought in. But they've still got no CFL experience, and that means a lot. And so it's going to take them a while to get up to speed. So I don't think they're going to have the year that they had last year. I picked them third place to fourth place, depending on how things are going with Edmonton.
Mike, your turn, bud.
Well, I agree with everybody's assessment. I picked them to be second and third. Like Chris pointed out, they lost over 20 players, and they did bring some in, but they're not experienced to play in the CFL. It's going to take them a while to get acclimated to the game, like anybody coming from the south of the border. But the key component to the Saskatchewan win or lose record is going to be the quarterback, Darian Durant. Now, the thing about that is, which Darian Durant are we going to see this year? Are we going to see 2013 Darian Durant or the 2012 Darian Durant that was getting sacked because his O-line wasn't blocking? So this is going to be the key component. You know, they start off strong, but then some reason they end up slipping. The O-line end up not blocking as well, and he end up getting sacked. So I want to see what O-line and what Darian Durant is going to show up this year. That's going to be the key component to Saskatchewan's success.
Gotcha. My opinion on it's really simple. It has nothing to do with the 20 guys that are gone. It has nothing to do with the running back that's in the NFL right now that we all know will probably come back. The biggest problem for repeating in any championship is that, boy, are you in the crosshairs of every other team. I mean, you know, there's nothing that brings a group of guys with pride that are football players, then bring in the championship team because you just want to kick their behind so bad, because that's the team that everybody's going to be compared to, and everybody's going to be reminded every time they come in to a new city or the visiting team goes into Saskatchewan, the defending Grey Cup champs, and people get tired of hearing it. And it's not because they don't like Saskatchewan. They just don't like the Grey Cup champion. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. It's going to be fun watching Saskatchewan to see, you know, it's going to take a very strong, mentally, physically, and very talented team with a lot of breaks as far as non-injuries are concerned to repeat, because it is just difficult in football. Football is such a brutal sport. It is so physically taxing, and there is no sport that relies on so many players on, you know, okay, the quarterback, we've talked about the front line and the offensive line, but really, as a whole, every player has a key, you know, moment where they can make a difference. You know, a game breaker can come out of a lot of, you know, there isn't, it isn't just about the quarterback, the running back, and the receivers as far as, you know, big plays are concerned. And that's, I think, what makes it hard to repeat, because there's nothing a game breaker wants more than to do it against the defending Grey Cup champs. Yeah, that's something that we can all, you know, think about. Here's something else you can think about. We're going to go for a short break. I got a couple interviews today. We'll put one in now. And what I'd like to talk about next, guys, think about who surprised you that's sitting on the cutting room floor right now. You know, if this were a movie, for some players, it's a horror story. And who do you think, for example, Rombi Bryant in Toronto? Some would suggest that's a surprise. Well, Rombi has a lot of experience, and maybe even just a little bit too much. He's a great player, a wonderful man. I had a chance to meet him and had some really nice conversations with him. But the reality is, you know, youth overcomes experience when the experience isn't as physically able to participate in the game as they did previously. And that sounds awful what I just said, but I tried saying it in as nice a way as I possibly could. Now, who would understand the subject of cutting players? Pretty important person, and that's the GM. And since I live near the Toronto Argonauts, of course, I'm going to ask Jim Barker's opinion about a couple of things, and this is what he had to say, I guess.
How does the change in defensive coordinators affect your decision?
It affects everything. You know, it's a completely different style than what Chris was doing, so it takes a completely different type of player. So basically, it's, yeah, we look brand new on defense, but we have brand new coaches and brand new everything. So that's to be expected. If we had the same defensive coordinator back and then we had 8 or 9 changes, you worry about that. But you have a new defensive coordinator with a completely different philosophy in the team, you expect to have a lot of changes.
Are you happy with the changes thus far? Do you feel that you're, or do you have to make a lot more moves, do you think? How close are you to having the defensive players?
Well, we like our team. I think our defensive coaches are happy with the players that they have, and now we just have to develop them and see, you know, who can last. It's a whole different thing being in a preseason game and being in a regular season game when you're going every rep and you don't have a backup. Those are the things we have to see. We have way too many first-year guys to be very excited about anything at this point. So we're going into Winnipeg, and it's going to be a hornet's nest. Coach will have them ready to play, and it should be a great football game.
How does 9 change to 6 this year with the injury weeks? You're down from 9 to 6 weeks? You had 9 weeks before?
Oh, the 9 games?
Yeah, how does that affect you?
Six. Well, it's just different in that if a guy's on a 6-game list, he can't practice. So it forces you, anybody who needs to practice needs to be on the regular roster. So that's the difference. Obviously, getting a guy only out for 6 weeks and then being able to evaluate him after the 5th week, so you get a full week to evaluate him and then another week prior to your full-year game before you make a decision whether you're going to go 6 more. I think that really helps us in terms of getting healthy guys on the field and not having a guy sitting on the 9 game because you can't afford to bring him back. But so, you know, ultimately I think it's a good change for us. Thank you.
Yeah, a great change. The kind of change that's moving forward. I really like that change, by the way. If all of you don't want to discuss it, just say so. But what do you think of shrinking from 9 weeks off, where a player's basically in limbo for 9 weeks? They've shrunk it to 6 weeks. I kind of really like it. When you think about it, it's a third of a season now, not half a season, which to me, you know, wow. You know, and I know there's some players who need to be on that list, I get it. Let's start on the other end this time. Mike, do you have an opinion on these kinds of rule changes? And I personally think it's great that the CFL is thinking of improving all the time. It's what keeps our league as interesting as it is, and I think fresh. How about you, Christopher? You want to give it a try?
I think it's awesome. Absolutely awesome. It's going to make a huge difference in how you manage your team throughout the year. It's you're not going to be so hesitant
nailed
to
down.
Throw somebody on the six-game list. And because, you know, you lose a guy for half the season, if you put him on the nine-game list, you can't bring him back. It goes against your cap. The six-game series, much better. Much better.
I thought
it was
a brilliant
concept.
Move. It was a brilliant move on their part. Richardson, you have an opinion on it?
I'm not fully understanding what this 6 weeks and 9 weeks. Could you explain that to me before I give an opinion?
Go ahead, Chris. Explain it to him.
Yeah.
Okay, when you have an injury on a player, and let's just say like Nick Lewis last year who broke his leg, and you're a third of the way through the season, you now have to decide what you're going to do with him, because if he's out for nine weeks on the nine-game injury list, that amount of money that he earns in the year, you can still pay him, but it doesn't go against your cap. So you can bring in a replacement player, pay them, and that will go against your cap. But if you bring Nick back in off the nine-game list early, like at eight games, because you want him, you need him, you're going for the playoff run, then all of his salary comes back into play, as well as his replacement player for those eight games. So you've got double the players for that period of time. So the nine-game list is to help the managers fill their roster during injury time. But it's so long that a player can recover from an injury sooner. You know, you break an arm or whatever else, or a hand, especially an old lineman who breaks an arm or a hand and plays in a cast, he can come back after 4 or 5 weeks. But you've now put him on a nine-game list, and he can't come back for 9 weeks. So,
and then you have
to
release somebody. Another way to look at it, Steve, is it's real simple. It allows you the flexibility, you know, to not have to commit to a player being gone for 9 weeks. Not every injury requires 9 weeks of recuperation time. And the six means that you can do it three times, you know, with three different players or whatever, as opposed to only twice, if you know what I'm saying. It's all about flexibility. And committing to a player sitting out for 9 weeks, just – they realized it didn't work. I didn't like it when I first, you know, watched it. And I'm going, this is who do the Argos have? Same thing. Swayze Waters.
Yeah.
You know, he was in that situation. And when I talked to him, you know, he was kind of, I'm ready to come back, but I can't come back. Which is, you know, because he has to wait for the clock to tick down. Because as Christopher clearly stated, there's an impact on the cap. There's an impact on how much money you've got in your purse left to spend, or you need to find money, which means get rid of a player or something. So this just affords it makes sense, and it actually makes dollars too. I think I don't think it just makes sense.
Yeah,
Bruce, so do you understand the concept?
I'm explaining that. I'm still on that learning curve right now with some of this stuff, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
No worries. So how about you, Mr. Bruce John Inch?
What's going on? I like it. I like that they shrunk it down to a six, like Chris was saying. It's going to help out everybody. Also, just speaking from the Ticats' point of view, we got three guys now on the six-game injured list now, and our O-line sucks, so we got to get those guys back. So that hopefully will bring them back quicker.
Right.
But this is this a new one-game injury list that they came out with, or was that effective last year?
Yeah, isn't that
too
cool?
And how many guys can you put on that, man? Like, we got, like, freaking 10 people on there.
Yeah.
Right? you know, everybody from Andy Fantuz, because they don't know how he's going to be, according to what Coach Austin said today, is not looking promising.
Well, you know, and I think Austin made it clear that, you know, they're in uncharted territory because each brain is different.
Exactly.
When impacted. And it's not just about the brain. We're not talking about just a person's brain. It's a person's brain that's been impacted, because mm-hmm. now we're beginning to realize that it's the repeat, you know, the repeating of concussions that, you know, some of it's left behind, if not recuperating enough. So, you know, it's the gift that keeps giving, man, and it's a scary thing. We'll talk about that in a second as well. We'll talk about the
cool.
rules this year.
Well, but
we'll
no,
talk
I
about
really like I like how they shrunk the 9-game down to the 6-game. Now, as far as my knowledge goes, when it used to be the 9-game, you could only bring one player off that 9-game back in your season. Is that the same as the 6-man? The 6-game?
They changed that actually last year, Bruce, or 2 years ago, pardon me, to have one in the first 9 games and another in the second 9 games of the season.
So you can bring back two in total, just one in the first 9, second one in the second 9.
Right. So I would imagine there's still 2 exemptions to the 6-man game injury list.
Probably one in the first 3 games and the second one in the last.
It could be 3.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure either how many. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're allowed 18 games. Before it was split between 2 players. Now it's split. It might be split between 3.
Right.
Yeah,
good question.
So you're allowed to carry an extra contract, you know. And it's the same thing. One thing I got to say, I'm not blaming the CFL for this, but darn, the injury, no one can explain to me how many injured guys you can have. It's a formula that only, I think, the league office understands. So, Kelly, are you happy with this 9 down to 6?
Definitely. I mean, it was traditionally 6 in the CFL, and they went to 9 about 4 or 5 years ago. So that was an experiment, and I think now that they've gone back to 6, we can put that to rest and say that it was an unsuccessful experiment. There was a lot of GMs scrambling and a lot of miscalculations on the salary cap. So I definitely think that it's going to be advantageous, make things a bit easier for our GMs. You know, we're not going to have these guys who are literally hiding on your roster, which is
who want to come back. That's what I learned last year from Swayze. You know, it's not that Barker or Milanovic didn't want to bring him back, but he was itching to get back into the game because he was ready.
Well,
before
he knows that every week he's out, he risks, you know, his replacement having a fantastic showing, and you know, when he gets back, there's that debate. Does a guy lose up due to injury, or does he retain it automatically? So,
well, isn't that the definition of being a football player? Mike, are you back yet? You know, it's a definition of a.
Yeah, I've been here.
I asked you. Never mind. You know, every football player, the one thing a football player wants to do, and Mike, you can jump in here too when you're ready, is to mm-hmm. get off the sideline. That's a nightmare for a football player. I mean, they don't talk about it a lot, but I know for a fact the last place you want to be is on the sideline, you know. And if you're injured and you can't get back on the field, you're 100%. I agree with you, you know, Kelly. You don't want to be on the sideline and have somebody take your job because you're healthy and the numbers game is counting you out.
You know, just before
talking
about this, you know, Bruce mentioned they got a number of guys on the 1-game injury list. I just looked it up, and it's 10 guys. 10 guys.
Well, that's one more than one guy 9 games.
Yep.
Mike, go ahead.
Yeah,
you don't want to be sitting
on the sidelines, man, because like Bruce said, if that replacement player comes in and gives a better showing, there's going to be a debate when you come back on what should we do, you know. And you see it happen a lot within a lot of players. A lot of people don't want to say nothing about it or don't want to, you know, speak their comments on it. But, you know, it dwells in their mind, man. You know, if I sit out these 6, 7, 8 games and this guy is out here, you know, kicking butt and doing excellent, what's going to become of my playing time, or am I going to get it back? You know, one slack up and I'm gone. So these guys don't want to sit on that list for 9 games, man. No.
Nobody wants to. How about you, Storm? You got an opinion on the 6 as opposed to 9?
Oh, no, I agree with the 6. The 6 is great, and just like basically everybody said, it's, if you're ready to go after the old rules, if you're ready to go after 6 games and you can't, even though you can, but they can't, and it's, you know, that would piss me right off. Because you know you're ready to go, and like whatchamacallit said there, like someone could take your place and your job could be hooped. Right?
There you go. How about you, Mr. Cliff?
Yeah, 9 games is just such a long time. That's half a season. And how many times has a player been evaluated after an injury and they're going to say they're going to be out for X number of games, and then 2 weeks later they reevaluate, oh, he's coming along quicker than we expect. Well, under the new rules, you're kind of screwed because you got to keep him on 9-game injured list. 6 games a much better number. It makes so much more sense to have them on the 6 game as opposed to a 9-game, and then it's not a half a season. I mean, to me, I think the 6 is a much better number.
Absolutely, and again, the flexibility and shorter-term commitment to a decision, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, as promised, we're going to talk about, hey, who do you think was a mistake in being released? Some would suggest that Jamal Richardson would be one of those guys. But he's been battling some injuries. You're listening to Candid Frank Live. The CFL is the best football in the world. All you have to do is watch, and you'll figure it out.
1, 2, 3. We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
One, two, three.
We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
Yay!
Woo. Go, Frank.
Go, Frank.
Go, Frank.
Go, Frank. There you go, Frank.
Thank you.
Did you know in Canada we have no fair catch rule?
No fair catch?
No fair catch.
Holy mackerel.
Hopefully there's aspirin on the side with the medics.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
No fair catch? Injuries?
I see some pain.
That could be kind of dangerous. I believe somebody would get killed like that.
You guys like it violent up there, huh?
CFL. We play by our own rules. Why do you think it takes you guys 4 downs to get 10 yards? We only need 3 up there.
Because we always make mistakes.
We're just kind of slow, you know, laid back. Got to get an extra down in before we can get our 10 yards.
You know, they give us one just in case.
I love 4 downs. First down, second down, third down, you know, fourth down.
You're saying you're better than us.
They want the game to go slower, I guess, for the commercials.
Y'all are obviously better. Must be the long winters, maybe.
They have longer legs. Are they faster? Is there, you know, better gene pool?
In the CFL, the play clock is 20 seconds rather than 40.
20-second play clock. Quicker tempo.
Well, they better be a lot smarter men on the field then.
Yeah, man, the respiratory system needs to be in good shape.
That's pretty quick.
That doesn't sound very fair. It doesn't give them enough time. They barely have time to do it here.
God forbid there's a different defense.
Oh, boy, that's fast. I mean, you got to get it done.
I say 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I get them an extra 10 seconds.
20 seconds, you know. That would keep things moving and grooving.
You know, in the Canadian Football League, we have 12 guys instead of 11. What do you think, an extra man out there?
Of course. They all look good in their pants.
Ooh, can I take him home?
I think you can never have too many men in tight pants on a football field.
And we have unlimited motion in our backfield.
Wow.
Wow.
You know?
A whole new realm of possibilities, huh?
And they're ready to go again in 20 seconds.
Where is this again?
That's interesting.
I may have to rest up a little.
CFL, I got to watch it. Go Canada.
You got that right. Boy, do you got that right. All right, so just for your information, guys, we're going up and down the list, and this time we're going down the list, and I'm hoping I get the numbers right, and if I call the wrong guy and turn on the wrong mic, I apologize in advance. So, again, you're listening to, yeah, the CFL is the best football in the world. I'm Candid Frank. I hate using my last name because everybody screws it up. But that's okay. That's my God-given name. Well, my parents gave it to me. Or it's a loaner, really. Because once I'm dead and gone, somebody else will take it. If they're unlucky. Anyway, so as promised, we will discuss now who do you think was a surprise release on any team? Doesn't necessarily have to be your team. And you can mention a few. You can mention your team's surprises and, of course, those on other teams. And I will remind you folks who are listening in, the four of you. We have, Cliff is here. Mr. Cliff is here. Mr. Schmidt is here. Mr. Bale is here. Mr. Inch is here. Mr. Richardson. And by the way, it was really nice, that back-to-back picture there with the, because the Argos have a guy named Richardson. And, of course, Kelly. I said Kelly, sorry. I should have said Christopher Jones. And, of course, Mike Townsend. So, a great season is about to happen. We're about to be entertained. And I got to tell you, I know a lot of people weren't really happy with the exhibition games, but I was. I was thrilled with come on, you can't argue the fact that Ottawa, hey, we've been talking about it. In this group, we've all agreed, I think for the most part, we've all agreed that this is probably one of the better expansion teams you're going to see in any sport. The league saw fit to give Ottawa a seriously good opportunity to hit the ground running. No pun intended. And Campbell as a coach, I mean, we're talking everything's top drawer in Ottawa. And they released, I was disappointed to see LeMarcant let go. One of my boys that I interviewed before he got drafted, and he was drafted the year before, not this past year, the year before, and he was just released. And they talk about like their careers are over. Please tell me the career isn't over when you're a young man at his age. But I guess where does he go to hone his skills? Where does he get an opportunity to build his, basically his ability to compete in a gym, you know, staring at a mirror on a carpeted floor? That's got to be tough. My best wishes to Simon. Great guy. All my best wishes to him. When you know them personally, it hurts a little more than it should, I think. It's just a game. For some, it isn't just a game. For some, it's a career and a life choice. And even for some of the fans. Okay, we started at the bottom of the list last time. Now we'll go back to the top of the list. Mr. Cliff. We'll bring him on first. Who surprised you on the outs on the possession list of teams?
Couple players. I was surprised to see the Bombers get rid of Max Hall. Especially with Drew Willey not having a full-time starting job. I thought they'd keep him around, maybe for a little bit of insurance. I was surprised when I saw that the Argos let go Romby Bryant. I wondered if that was more injury-related than anything else, because he only played the two games last year for the Argos. Wasn't shocked about Jamal Richardson because they seem to be overstocked in Montreal in the receiver position. We know Jamal Richardson's had some injury issues. They brought in Ocho Cinco. Although I do wonder, if Ocho Cinco isn't signed, is Jamal Richardson still an Alouette? I'm not sure. Maybe some other guys might have an opinion on that. But those were the main guys that I was kind of surprised. And I was also kind of surprised to see the Eskimos let go of Hugh Charles. Shocked, but I thought he would stick around for a while with the Eskimos.
Now, I thought he was effective last year.
Yeah. I did too. And when I heard he got cut, I was actually quite surprised.
And he's my poster boy for my one of my favorite picks that I have.
Yeah.
To promote the show. And Jamal Richardson, it might be one of those cases where Montreal knows the status of his health, but I think I agree with you that I believe that they're just that's just an embarrassment of Richards in Montreal as far as receivers.
Just loaded up there.
They are. And Johnson's just, the cherry on top of the cake. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It isn't even Johnson. Even without him, they're still, I think they're just keeping him around for now, in my opinion. Now, people are going to get upset with me, I guess, especially Mike. I think they're keeping him around because as much as he's a good player and as much as he can bring to the team, I think what he brings more is the draw and the cachet that he brings to the organization. And there's nothing wrong with that. The guy earned that reputation, right? He earned that reputation. And the Owls have every right to, to use whatever. Your turn. No worries. Your turn, Mr. Schmidt.
The biggest surprise would be the Charles and Edmonton, too, was a surprise. But my biggest one would be the Kobe Bryant in Toronto. That was, he did good in Calgary. And, when you cheer for a team and they let go of somebody that you don't think that they should let go, it hits a little bit of a nerve. But. So that would be my biggest surprise, I think, getting up there in age, I guess, and who knows what else is going on behind closed doors. So
there you go.
And
how about you, Brucey?
Go back to him.
Yeah, he said something after he stopped. You want to finish that thought? I'm sorry. I was moving on to Bruce.
I said, sorry, I just found out that Bo Levi Mitchell is starting for Calgary on Saturday.
A lot of people won't be surprised in that. There are many who believe that he is the better quarterback. I don't think so. But I think health-wise, he'll probably stand up better than Tate. I mean, we joke unfairly here. And when I say we, I don't mean necessarily myself. But it's been heard on this program, every time a player develops an injury pattern, they refer to them as the Tate 2 or 3 or version 4 because he basically is the poster boy for unlimited amounts of injuries that lead to a season that could have been disappearing.
Well, absolutely.
Rapidly.
And we could talk about this. We could talk about this more after this. So just go to everybody else just got off the subject there for a second.
No worries. So let's go now to Brucey.
Yeah, how are you doing? The only real surprise with me with my team was Evan McCullough. But besides that, I'm not surprised with any of the other cuts.
What about Brandon Isaac?
I didn't think he got cut.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard
Saskatchewan
that.
Cut him.
Oh, then that's why I don't care. No, honestly, I don't care about
that's
any
cool.
of it. Hey, I'm
that's
a tie
cool.
cat. I bleed black and golden. But I was a bit if you wanted to know the truth, I was a bit surprised with Ottawa getting rid of Justin Pelote. But I noticed Montreal got rid of Delvaux too, so he might end up in Ottawa.
There you go.
So,
how about you, Kelly?
Alvarado. I believe Delbert Alvarado will end up in Montreal, Bruce. That's a good point.
Yeah. When I saw him at camp last year, he came to our camp, and he was good. He was good. But, Luka Kanji just beat him out. But
right. Exactly. Well, and there's probably about 8 guys that I really, a little bit shocked about and a little bit excited about the possibility of bringing them in here. And, Evan McCullough is one of them, although we are fairly deep in the defensive backfield, but he's somebody that's established in this league, made some big plays last year and ones that I remember because we played Hamilton 3 times. Ray Hartman from the Eskimos, defensive back, another one. He made some plays last year, and I see him fitting in somewhere, getting picked up. Kyle Norris, linebacker, Canadian, I see him getting a job probably with Ottawa. That's too bad for him. He's a nice guy. Who else on Edmonton? Oh, yeah, right. He is huge. There's Rashawn Harris. He's a defensive lineman on the Eskimos from Oregon. He's definitely, you know, somebody who's rotated in and out of that defense and stuff. So he's a CFL veteran. I see him getting picked up. Saskatchewan, we have quite a few surprises. Morty Ivey's been asked to stay on the practice roster, but that's all Jamie and I could talk about on the Green Zone for the last 2 weeks is how good Morty Ivey is in that linebacking core. Brandon Isaac, as you had mentioned, Jada Chen, the guy that we actually traded to Drew Willey to Winnipeg for. A lot of people kind of upset with that, but I think Tamman still wins that deal, even though Etienne doesn't pan out, just in the fact that Willie wasn't going to sign here. Anyways, Troy Stoudemire, defensive back, he's a corner, and this guy has the potential to be what Khalil Carter would call a shutdown corner in the CFL. He's an import, brought him in toward the end of last year, and he really performs huge. Defensive end, Richard Sumlin, another guy that rotated in and out when we had some injuries last year. He's somebody that has to stick around. Isaiah Sweeney, wide receiver, definitely turned some heads, but he also dropped some balls against Edmonton. So he's a guy who has been asked to stick around as well. Ryan Wellman, a name a lot of people around Regina are familiar with. Canadian defensive lineman, kind of expected him to take over from Zach Evans as our Regina guy on the D-line, but he's been released. So Marcus White, we saw him take one back fumble for 4 yards in the first exhibition game against Ottawa. He was released. So Winnipeg, not too many surprises there. I'm not shocked about Max Hall. Brome and what's the other guy's name? Something like Marv. Brome and Marv really established themselves as second and third string quarterbacks in Winnipeg. So that's it for Winnipeg. Toronto, nobody really shocked me. I've never been a huge believer in the abilities of Romby Bryant. He had one good year here in the CFL, and other than that, I wouldn't be looking for him to get picked up by my team. Evan, I can't ever pronounce his name. Zonick? And anyway, he's a Canadian receiver, and he actually played last year a little bit, from what I remember. And, But one guy who also was released in Regina was Jordan Cisco. They call it the Cisco experiment. It's been going on for about 5 years. He had a tryout in Indianapolis with the Colts, and ever since then hasn't been the same. Well, this year, your boy, Alex Bierschalski, drafted by the Rough Riders, comes in, makes a huge impression on the coaching staff. He's staying, and Cisco is going. There's a shock.
Every so often we're shocked by things, and sometimes it really doesn't matter. Mr. Richardson, who surprised you?
Stands out. Now, I haven't seen all the lists, I'll have to be honest, so I'm not sure what all the teams have released.
But who popped out in your head that you heard?
Well, I think his name's come up enough, and that's Richardson from Montreal. It kind of surprised me a bit. I know he's had some injuries himself, as Christopher pointed out to me. But at the same time, I had this gut feeling that he was going to be coming to Toronto. Is that finalized? I'm not actually sure.
Well, there's nothing being reported, but Barker was asked about him by our buddy Matthew Schinetti, who's now on TSN, that was on my show last year. Milanovic was asked if he was going to pick him up at the airport. So is that going to happen? It remains to be seen, and I can assure you of one thing. He could already be here, and the doctors can already be looking at him. You won't hear about him joining the team unless he passes the physical. And that may be the reason why he was released by Montreal. And the CFL players are only worth something to the team because of the cap, not because of any other reason.
Of course.
They become, you know, basically expendable because of their health. That's why in the preseason, you'll see guys are suspended. They're suspended because they came to camp and they were unable to perform. And that's a problem for players in the CFL. They've got to maintain their health. They can't take too many chances. That's why our guy, Chad Owens, tried MMA when he was a free agent or on a contract that didn't stipulate he couldn't do it. He re-signed for a two-year contract, and it basically said, and I said to him, so you're still doing the MMA? He goes, no. Because he can't. That's why.
That makes sense.
Any surprises from your front?
A couple things, Frank. One is I'd like to correct you on something. It's not we don't talk about Tate, this, that, this. It's a Buck Pierce 2.0 is what
Tate
is.
Oh, Buck Pierce. Okay, sorry.
Right? So, and then we can go to 3.0 and whatever else with anybody else that's injury prone. But, yeah, you got to give that one to Buck. You can't take that title away from him. He's earned it.
Well, he's retired. I think it's been passed.
I don't know. He earned it. He's the best that position. So,
Hall of Fame of injuries.
Hugh Charles kind of caught me off guard, only for the simple fact that I think the last 2 years he's been getting better and better in Edmonton, and he's been improving on his position and his play.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, Chris Jones has punted him. Tossed him under the bus, and I really was a little shocked at that. Not saying that, you know, whatever, but Chris Jones did say there's three things that are important to a running back. Number three is running. Number two is catching, and number one is blocking.
Right.
The number one thing for a running back is blocking. So Hugh Charles is not. That's not on his high end skill list. So, you know, that's probably what happened there. When I heard that from Chris Jones a week and a half ago, and I said, Hugh Charles ain't going to last in Edmonton, and right away he was gone. So
yeah,
shocked by it, but I was kind of, you know, I was going, oh, man, he's kind of found a home, and he's improving, and things are getting good for him. And then Chris Jones says this, and I'm going, damn, he's going to get cut at the wire.
Well,
and,
you know what?
It's
all about keeping the quarterback clean, right?
Yeah, it is. And last year, Mike Riley was not clean. He was
not
pulling
clean
weeds
at all.
He's pulling
weeds
out of his face mask all season long.
He was pulling weeds out of his face mask and out of his ears.
Yeah.
It's about being clean. Mike, you're up
Jamal
next.
Jamal Richardson did not shock me at all. He was injury prone in that aspect, or he's been battling injuries. I think his high salary is what got him the boot. When they brought Chad Johnson in, I mean, they gave him slightly better than minimum. I would wager he's getting about $75,000 a year. And the difference between that and $180,000 that Jamal Richardson would have been getting, it's basic economics. You got somebody that's healthy, you got somebody that's not healthy. Who are you going to pay? You know? So, and now that Richardson's been cut, his salary is done. His contract's gone. So, you know, when Toronto's now bringing him back, they can bring him back at a much reduced rate.
So he's taking a haircut.
So, yeah, he is, definitely. And you don't know what he's going to come in at. If he wants to stay playing and he knows that he's not 100%, then he's going to be coming in under the 100 grand mark, in which Jim Barker's getting himself a hell of a deal if Richardson becomes healthy.
Yes,
you know,
a very good deal.
He has the capability of lighting things up, and we all know that. We've seen it for so long. So, you know, he's getting a great deal, bang for his buck on that. The one thing that really did shock me was Ottawa letting go of three kickers in 24 to 48 hours. And that was a bit of a shock. although I did see Luca Kanji not signing with anywhere else, and I'm pretty sure that he is going to be in an Ottawa Red Blacks uniform before the next day or two. So, you know, I understand releasing three kickers, but you don't just clean house like that. That was kind of weird.
There must be a plan B.
Really
They wouldn't do that. Well, you know, as good a job as the management team at Ottawa has done, there have been, you know, hints of a little bit of, well,
stupidity.
I don't want to, I don't want to use that word, but oversights that for those who aren't that well enshrined in the game of the Canadian Football League may not recognize, but some actually, you know, that eyebrow is being raised, you know, the heavy arch is happening.
Marwan Hage was a prime example. I mean, why would you draft somebody who says, you know, I'm thinking about retiring? You know, I mean, duh.
And also, he was a key member in the negotiation, and this does happen in the CFL and in some other leagues as well. There's a bit of backlash if you're a player and you're fighting for the players, because you're going to say things that maybe don't necessarily swim down through the ear canal that easily for some people.
I just don't. Desjardins has done some weird things that most seasoned GMs would never have done.
But he has, you know, he has been given a great opportunity. The city of Ottawa has been given a great opportunity to not have to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous crap, you know, the first couple of years.
Agreed.
You know, so you know, and hopefully he doesn't waste this opportunity, because I don't think anybody should be surprised that they beat Montreal in the exhibition. I was reading even in the Ottawa fan pages, we won an exhibition game. I didn't think we'd win one, you know. And that speaks volumes of the old, you know, expansion-itis, if you will.
Yeah.
Mike, how about you? Any surprises? Hugh Charles, Jamal Richardson.
Well, first I'm going to start with Winnipeg. I really wasn't surprised that Max Hall got released, because Brian Brohm came in and lit it up. I mean, come on, man. That dude shows that he can play in the CFL as a quarterback. And in my assessment, Drew Willey has the job, but it's his job to lose. Brian Brohm is on the wings just waiting to be the starter. And one person I did not see on Winnipeg's roster that I seen last year, and that really showed some promising player to be the number one receiver, was Mike Sims-Walker. I don't know if they didn't sign him, or he's back down south of the border in the NFL, but I was looking forward for him to be the number one go-to guy this year, but I didn't see him on a roster. Edmonton, Hugh Charles was a big surprise. Like Chris said, I seen that interview that Chris Jones said, number three things, running, catching, and blocking. Hugh Charles did not fit into Chris Jones's offensive scheme. He's looking for a big bruiser-type running back that can bust through the holes, that can block. So don't be surprised if we see Corey Boyd fighting pretty soon. Montreal with Jamel Richardson, I wasn't surprised because like Manasseh said some weeks ago, that after they signed Chad Ocho, that Jamel Richardson was going to be on the bubble because of his injury, and he don't think that he took it well to bringing him in. But if Chad wasn't signed, the receivers that they have in Montreal, they were loaded. I mean, so
We've been saying that all summer.
Yeah,
all winter.
They
sorry.
Were loaded. They were loaded, so it wasn't no big surprise to me. And if he can pass his physical, man, and play for Toronto, you know, I wish him well. But don't be surprised, man, if he get a call from Mark Trestman also. So
there you go. And I agree with you. Mike Sims-Walker is nowhere to be found on the list of players in the CFL.
Nope. And that was very shocking for me, because last year, I mean, he was that go-to guy, and he showed flashes. I mean, he got acclimated within the offense the first half of the season when they just came him on a practice roster the second half of the season, man, he just exploded. And I'm like, okay, where is this guy at, man? Y'all were talking about him being y'all number one. Next year, he'll play against Denmark. Where is he at?
So he went from being the go-to guy to the go-went guy.
Yep. Gone.
Yeah, too bad. A great player. But you know what? I think you're right. You know, how many times how many times have we seen players who basically expect more from the organizations they play for than the organizations willing to give them, forcing them to look towards the NFL in almost a hopeful way as opposed to a realistic way, if you know what I mean.
Right. Yeah. They look for the organization, man, to you know, have their back, but sometimes it's like, hey, it's a numbers game.
Any player who hasn't learned the lesson that every organization does not have a responsibility to any player other than, and I want to make, because Christopher will spank me if I don't say this, there are organizations, and there are a lot of them, take the Chad Kackert situation, that will back players up. But I think it has more to do with the effect it has on the players that are on the team. It wouldn't be a good thing if all of a sudden Kackert was hung out to dry. The same may be true for other players as well. I mean, I guess Christopher can talk about Wally Buono and his loyalty to some players who, you know, have been good soldiers to him, and he does have almost a loyalty to his players, sometimes even to a fault.
He has a loyalty to his coaches to a fault.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back for more insight from Mike Townsend, Christopher Jones, Robbie Richardson, and, of course, Bruce John Inch. Guys, this is so hard to do sometimes, but I'll get by. Schmitty's here. As is Mr. Bale, and Davey's probably in bed now. And who did I miss? Well, I said Cliffy. We'll be back right after this. And, you know, the important thing to remember when it comes to the game of football, we all of us, we bleed for our team. And every so often, we get lucky and we get to meet our team. Players or other such people. This week I talked about and we talked about the fact that we were at Varsity Stadium, the Argo fans, of which I am a part, and a part of the, I have a horn for a reason. It's because I'm trying to generate support for my team. And it's important to me that my team know I support them and that we're there for them to help, you know, make it difficult for the opposition to be successful. And it truly is amazing to have somebody wearing the same colors you are to tell you that you're being too noisy. I mean, really? Is that what it's come to? I mean, is that what we're doing now? We're basically being, I don't know, too excited? Where a Hamilton fan is surprised to hear that Argo fans actually cheer. Well, I'll tell you, they ain't going to stop me from doing it. And you know what? It isn't going to stop any of our group from doing it. All right, let's get back to the phones. And you know what? We've got 37 minutes left. And in those 37 minutes, I want you guys to decide what you want to talk about. So think about something that rubs your craw the wrong way or the right way. An opinion that on something to do with the CFL this year, whether it's you were surprised at what your team did or didn't do, surprised at what the opposition did. Another thing I want to bring in, and I promised Bruce I would bring it in because I know this is a bit of a thing under his craw. We changed the officiating now is being dealt with by a different person because the last year's man in charge of the rules, if you will, and their interpretation, is now a Montreal Alouette coach, head coach, in fact. So we'll start with Bruce. Now that means I'm starting in the middle of the pack, and if I miss you, I apologize in advance. So, Bruce, you're one of those fans that's unhappy with and have repeated the fact that Coach Austin, GM Austin, Vice President Austin, whatever other titles he has, is not happy with the fact that he has a couple of players on the sideline because of helmet-to-helmet collisions. Expand on it for us and give people an indication of how you feel about it.
I think it's BS. Who's the man in charge now?
I forgot his name now.
Well, I always thought the commissioner had the last say.
The way life works is the boss never makes decisions. He hires people to make decisions so that he can blame them. And we're in Christopher's wheelhouse now, so we'll bring Christopher in on this.
Well, let me finish my thought.
Glenn Johnson.
Hello?
Yeah, no, he just said the name. Thank you, Christopher.
Oh, I see. Okay, thanks, Chris.
I brought him in for a reason, not to irritate you.
No, but I lose my train of thought easy. I'll just ask Phyllis one next time you ask.
I know, but you got there's a very tiny track for you.
Very tiny.
Very tiny.
But no.
It's a tight
like,
track.
I haven't personally seen either hit. I've tried to Google it. I've tried to YouTube it. So I personally have not heard or seen what the hits were like. But from what I've heard, especially the Lindsay Lemieux hit, you could hear it throughout the crowd, the helmet on helmet. There was no call on that. But there's no further investigation either, as far as I'm aware, or
as
that
far
I've read.
As you're aware of, yeah. That,
with the Andy Van Tuz hit, I heard it was close. It could have went either or. So hopefully he's back sooner than Lindsay. Lindsay's on the sixth game, for sure. Van Tuz is on the one game for now. And I guess, like you said, though, you know, concussion can be a funny thing. But as far as Lindsay Lemieux goes, I think this might end his career because that's his second major one.
Bad.
You know,
well
it's his second major one
within
2 years.
It's not funny, ha-ha. I want to make that clear. It's funny, what? You know, it's weird. It's just weird. Okay, guys, I've turned on all the mics, and this will be the free-for-all portion of the program. Try not to step on anybody's comments and try not to be hogging the mic. Give everybody a chance. Whatever it is. Anybody else have any insights into concussions when it comes to football? We see, principles in place. Throughout sports, we've seen the NFL be sued by former players because of concussions and health concerns. And now the new one that's coming out now, the injury one is gone, but now the drugs that were given players to ensure that they could come back early and or ignore the pain that injuries that are a byproduct of injuries. And using medication to soothe the pain so that you go out there sooner. There are a lot of players that are, unhealthy because of it. Now, I'm not trying to bring that into the conversation. I'm just trying to highlight the importance of players' health. And the new guy, Mr. Johnson, who's in charge, I usually find that the best people responsible for stuff are people who don't jump looking for reasons to give penalties. Sometimes slow and steady and give people an opportunity to wrap their heads around something and understand better what is or is not a penalty or a bad move. Do you want to pick up on the officiating in general, Christopher? It's a little early, but what we do know is he changed. I assume that he had a lot to do with the rule change from 9 to 6 games. And I also assume that his expansive history and experience in officiating should give us CFL fans less to complain about?
Okay. First off, I want to make sure that everybody knows that I think Tom Higgins got a raw deal. He did a wonderful job, and the league is a lot better now because of his tenure as the head of the officiating. I think that the move to Glenn Johnson was spectacular. He has now taken it to another level and will continue on that upscale, uphill battle to make officiating not only respectable but the awe of most different sports. I think Glenn Johnson was – it was a great move. But I think we can't throw Tom Higgins under the bus. I think what he did was phenomenal for this league. Okay, so I want to make sure that that's clear. One thing I do want to touch base, and it's off the subject of officiating for a second, is the Monday morning quarterbacking by Peter King, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, Peter King. I think this article that he's just put out, the Welcome to Canada Week, the seven days leading up to the beginning of the CFL season that he has done for this down in the States, is stupendous. It's spectacular. The entire article was written by Mark Trestman, the now coach of the Chicago Bears, ex-coach of Montreal Alouettes. Fabulous, fabulous introduction to the Canadian sport. Doug Flutie is going to be doing a column this week on it. And Peter King himself is going to cover the opening game, the Toronto-Winnipeg game, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Winnipeg, yeah.
He's
yeah.
going to be in
so,
Regina.
I just think this is just absolutely awesome. This is one of the best things that we could do for the league. I mean, the awareness in America that's coming to our league now is it's light years compared to what it was a decade ago.
Well, let's flesh out who he is. He's the senior writer, okay, of one of America's most fabulous sports magazines. And if you don't, if Sports Illustrated doesn't mean anything to you, you're not a sports fan.
Yeah.
And he does do a special Monday morning quarterback column on SI.com. And, geez, it's got to be, my goodness, over 20 years old. Well, maybe not old.
At least.
Right?
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. And, you know, you can follow him on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. But he is, you know, he's an amazing sports writer who has a great reputation. And he's putting his support behind the CFL, which, you know, is less about him being brilliant, but more about him, you know, just stating the obvious. Because, you know, if you watch the NFL long enough and then watch the CFL, it's not hard to appreciate the CFL. Sorry, NFL fans, I hate to rain on your parade. And he's just seeing what the rest of us have figured out a long time ago.
Yeah, I think the last time we were actually in Sports Illustrated was when Doug Flutie was in the league. Like, I mean, in a significant way. They always mention, you know, the Western Final champion, the Eastern Final champion, and then a couple weeks later the Grey Cup champion. But really a legitimate article in SI, it's been since Doug Flutie about the CFL. And, you know, those are the days when America was involved in the league, so there was no doubt that they were going to cover it. But it's huge. He's the Larry King of sports periodicals.
Except
he's well known
he's not on the downside
US,
of his career.
All I have to say about that is four words that I always use in any of my threads and my posts, and y'all guys know what I'm going to say. New time, new era. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Yep. It
is. Yeah, but he is.
The change has happened.
He is, but, you know, he's a bellwether, no doubt.
Yeah.
For sure.
We got,
and
Mark Trestman is doing
getting
Monday's
more popular.
Column.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
No worries.
Just recap this a little bit here. Mark Trestman is doing Monday's column, which we've just seen. Doug Flutie is doing tomorrow. Bruce Arthur is doing Wednesdays. Emily Kaplan is doing a periodical on the CFL players offseason on Thursday. Jenny Ventris is doing the Winnipeg-Toronto opener, and then Peter King is doing the Calgary-Regina game on Monday. So, I mean, they're putting some serious clout behind this. They put some effort into this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't you think that when it comes to credibility for Sports Illustrated, is they have to have their finger on the pulse of what the fans want and or are interested in, right? They want to be in the front of the line. And I happen to think that, as we've discussed, guys, over the past year and change, and as long as I've been doing the show for, I guess, this is the – for a long time now anyway, we are at the point where we're at a good spot with the Canadian Football League. They just ratified, everybody's ratified the agreement. So we've got 4 years in front of us where there's not going to be any concerns about labor disputes. And all we can all we have to concentrate on now is football. And my goodness, I mean, the football that's being played here right now is being appreciated down south. NBC, ESPN aren't necessarily fighting over it. But they're both trying to make inroads with the CFL, and that's a good sign.
Yeah, well, I was going to bring up, you're seeing a much more increased presence from the CFL that you weren't seeing a few years ago. You had, like you said, NBC Sportsnet, you had ESPN 2 and ESPN 3. I don't know if they've announced a broadcast schedule for the U.S. I know I looked the other day on their website, they said it was coming. But you are seeing a much higher presence down south than you have in quite some time.
But isn't it fair to suggest that last year they showed all? I think they showed all the games, so I can't see them not showing all the games this time.
Yes, they did. They showed all the games, and they showed the Grey Cup game and NBC Sports Network.
You're breaking up, Mikey.
Yeah.
Just trust me when I tell you that.
We didn't hear
new time,
Mikey.
New era.
Didn't hear that.
Repeat yourself.
Okay. I said there's a reason that the CFL is getting a lot of exposure and airplay in the States right now. They're not doing it for no reason. Like
well,
I always
say,
new time.
I think Mike's alluding to the possibility of the CFL going back and expanding back into the States at some point.
Well, no, that's a desire that Mike has. Whether it's realistic or not is not important at this point. Mike's point is simple, is that people will start talking about bringing the league there. The more the popularity rises in the U.S. with the Canadian Football League, the more interest there will be in bringing in teams. The question is, are the CFL owners prepared to take a chance again in the U.S. That led to some pretty sorrowful times for the CFL? Now, I'm not trying to rain on Mike's parade at all. I'm just saying there has to be a lesson learned from the previous experience where they have to protect themselves against the dumb mistakes they made last time. No, it's okay. And I say dumb for a reason.
The only thing I was going to say was, it was a lot of lessons learned because you don't have these teams not having these teams 1 year to the next year. You got expansion teams. That crap wasn't sought out well. It wasn't well established. They didn't do their homework. They got owners. They had owners that didn't know nothing about the CFL, that didn't do no homework. So that and you put teams down south.
Care.
Come on, seriously, and didn't care. I mean, Memphis, Shreveport, Birmingham.
And then
come
there's
on,
Baltimore
that's too far
though.
South.
Well, let's not talk about only the negative, right? But Baltimore, even to this day, they still remember their team and still honor their team and still care about their team. And some would even suggest that they'd like to bring the team back.
We talk about Baltimore a lot. How about Sacramento? There's a fan group there that actually is, represented at the Grey Cup every year, and they're quite active as well, not so much online, but they still have a fan club with over 250 members in it of Sacramento Gold Miners. So that's another
one that
was close enough to Canada.
Does anyone else see the irony in that, like I do? L.A. doesn't have an NFL football team.
Yeah.
The capital of the state of California loves the CFL.
See, the thing about it is with the Sacramento Gold Miners, the only reason they did not stay in the league because when all the other teams folded and moved, the CFL told Sacramento they was not going to endorse the Sacramento Gold Miners. So if they wanted to stay in the CFL, there was going to be a CFL independent league.
Well, no, they had already left Sacramento, though. They went to San Antonio.
They went to San Antonio, and they were told they wasn't going to be endorsed by the league. If they wanted to play, the owner had to market
you
his team himself.
You have 10 seconds to complete your recording. Please continue after the tone.
The owner had
cool.
to, had to The owner had to shell out the money himself. So that was it.
What was that?
Wow.
I don't know. And you know, new era time.
Somebody wants to get by with their car.
No, I won't take I won't take responsibility for that. I called Storm and Storm was dropped. I guess he voluntarily left, and I jumped the gun and called him, and that was his answering machine finishing up. Yeah, you know, Mike,
okay.
I understand, and I totally, you know, I'm okay, and I'm on board with your desire to have an American team in the league. I'm just not so sure that I really want an American team in the league, only because of what happened the last time. And
I think you have to let go, Frank.
No.
I really think you have to let go of that and say, okay, you know what? We've got a much better commissioner. We've learned a lot from those mistakes, and we're never going to go back down that road and bring in eight teams in 1 year. You're going to come in and bring one team in and make it competitive, and then 3 years later move to the next.
But that was the problem. That was the problem. And I know Mike has mentioned that, you know, the whether it's free trade or the business of football players playing football in the U.S. that are Canadian not being an issue and therefore being allowed to have one set of rules for every team. That's my biggest concern, is that if we don't have one set of rules for all the teams, then we're going to end up with a problem. And the problem is simple.
Uh-huh.
It's an unfair advantage for one team over another. And it's not because they're American, believe me. It's about the game and about the sport. And the competition right now in the CFL, I think, is excellent. I truly believe
very
that...
Very excellent.
I truly believe that as much as, you know, people talk about, you know, the top three in the West being the same top three for, what, 5 or 6 years now. I think this year's a change. I really believe that Edmonton's going to take over. And, you know, and I don't mean to change the subject, guys, but you know, it's like, simply put, I think Matt Nichols is going to give Riley a run for his money. And I love Riley.
Yes.
And I love Riley.
Well, you just going to see which one's going to stay on their feet longer.
Everybody's got an equal opportunity.
Guess which one is going to stand on their feet. Yep.
Well, you know, and I think it's you, Christopher. Who was it that said that CJ, the other CJ, the head coach of Edmonton, is not really a big fan of Riley's.
Yeah, but you know, I agree, but I think we've had some pretty telltale signs in the last couple of days as to what it's doing. And one of them was Mike Riley being signed to a contract extension.
Yeah.
And Mike Riley wouldn't sign a contract right now knowing that his position is up in the air. So he would wait till that was solidified before he turned around and said that. So I think Chris Jones
is
about to announce that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mike
logic.
Riley is going to be the starting quarterback, and it's in dispute. It's not in dispute, and they're going to move forward from there.
Yeah.
And I think that that's just a non-issue now. Mike Riley is the number one guy in Edmonton.
But a contract doesn't guarantee your participation, though, Christopher. It doesn't. It doesn't guarantee.
No, I'm well
CFL.
Aware of that.
Oh, okay, good.
But you know what? You know, Mike is
well, I'm
Mike
with you.
Riley
hey, listen,
is not
I'm a Riley
sign
fan.
A contract unless it's going to be for the number one spot.
I'm a Riley fan, but I also I'm not saying I have a long memory because I'm too old to have a long memory, but I do have a memory for the fact that Riley got the job because, quite frankly, the other quarterback got injured. And he had a great year because of that injury.
Then too. And if
right?
you want to
and
talk about
marvelous
Buc-Ace 2.0, then that's Matt Nichols.
Yeah, and, you know, I think he's just been unlucky. But then again, you know, some people have bad luck follow them around. I hope it isn't Matt Nichols because I like the kid. And I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, if healthy, the same way we can talk about, you know, Drew Tate.
It's the same conversation.
If he could stay on his feet, you know, he'd be the best quarterback in the CFL maybe.
But if
you
look at Edmonton's last season and the abuse that Mike Riley took, if Matt Nichols was behind center, he would be in a coffin.
Well, one thing's for sure is he'd be doing like the cartoon where the guy crawls off the field on his tippy toes and his fingers. You know, and you
yeah,
hear that
it'd be
plink,
like
plink,
Wile
plink,
E. Coyote.
Yeah,
absolutely, exactly.
Right. So
I mean,
Mike Riley's got the position just because of the pure toughness.
Yes, and he masks the weaknesses that Edmonton has, essentially.
Yeah.
Essentially.
That might be the reason Mitchell gets the call over Tate in Calgary, is because of the toughness issue.
Well, I tell you what, McGee wasn't brought in for no reason. All y'all got to do is YouTube that kid. He used to play for the Dallas Cowboys. Strong arm and is a good quarterback. So it's both for Levi Mitchell and Drew Tate's job to lose.
Yeah. Well, it's everybody's job to lose, and that happens all year long and all through the off season.
Continuing on the theme of quarterbacks, let's go far west and work our way east.
Yes, Kevin.
Glenn, probably when we look back at this, and this is a prediction that we all made, you know, wherever he ended up, we knew that Kevin Glenn would do a good job. But he may end up being the best deal for a quarterback this year for sure, maybe for a long time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I kind of disagree, and I'm going to make this point is Kevin Glenn, I love the man. I love him. He's from Detroit. He's a great guy. I wish him the best, but I would describe him with this word, and that is serviceable at best. I don't see him as a league all-star this year. I don't see him, winning the big game. I think BC's, solidified their situation, so I don't blame them for bringing him in. But at the same time, they're not going to win the Grey Cup with Kevin Glenn at the helm. And that's how I feel about it.
Oh, I disagree. He led a team to the Grey Cup 2 years ago.
He hasn't done it.
He got him to the Grey Cup 2 years ago. He got him to first place last year.
He didn't win the game. He didn't win the game.
He didn't play.
That's where I agree with Kelly.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
And your term of calling him serviceable, I would call it consistent. Okay.
I would call him a
professional. He's consistently playing.
Given
the
chance to throw.
He plays
the
game consistently. He's going to go out there and he's going to win the majority of games for BC until Travis Lule is healthy enough to come in there and clean up at the end of the year. And that's everybody's plan.
I'm really glad BC thinks that way because you're in our division, and I think that's faulty.
Okay, let's
well,
move.
Well, my assessment.
Oh, go ahead.
My
Mike.
Assessment on Kevin Glenn is I think he's beyond serviceable. I mean, look at Kevin Glenn's career. I mean, he done played with the best receivers. Milt Stegall, he went to Hamilton, had a tough time in Hamilton because they had a bad team. He moves to Calgary. I mean, for 2 years, your backup quarterback is your starter. I mean, Kevin Glenn can take a team to the Grey Cup. He did not win it. He can take a team to the Grey Cup. Now, turn the times now, he's in B.C. Look at what B.C. has around him to surround him with good players to put him over the hump. I mean, hey, if Lule was out the whole year, I still would pick BC to be number one in the West if Kevin Glenn was at the helm. I mean, come on, man. The guy is clock management. His good completion, his completion ratio is above charts. I mean, the guy, man, can play ball.
And as much as it was, as much as you can blame Kevin Glenn for the loss against my team, the Argos, Cornish wasn't exactly burning up the turf.
Nope.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. That was definitely a big problem. And, I mean, I never put the blame on one individual. But at the same time, I just can't see Kevin Glenn getting over that hump at this stage of his career. He's 35 years old. He is past his prime.
What about Flutie? I don't think he was. I don't think he was 28 when he won the Grey Cup.
Wow, Doug Flutie is not.
What
Kevin.
About Damon Allen?
And Damon Allen,
Allen,
yeah.
Damon Allen.
These guys are in a different league, fellas. Kevin
Glenn
is not
Damon
Allen.
I grant you that. And of course, you know, I mean, let's be clear. Glenn doesn't have a brother who's a running back phenom in the NFL. but it doesn't mean that he can't accomplish something. And you know what? Look at it this way, Kelly. You know, because I agree with you, okay? Before he went to BC, I would have agreed with you 100% with what you said. And here's where I'm having problems agreeing with you today. And then that's just based on the way things are today, not, you know, not last month or 2 months ago. He's going to be hungry. He got screwed over in Ottawa, and he's got a fire. Nothing motivates
that's
a person
true.
More than feeling like they've been shafted, and they would love to, you know. He's motivated this year. I see a guy.
You know, what I'd say to that is just if he wasn't motivated in those other years, then.
Oh, come on, Kelly, come on, be fair. Kelly, be fair. Come on.
There's
players
no extra motive,
man.
In this year.
Players are
35 years old.
That's like
you
that's
can't
like
really
saying,
do anything about it.
Yeah, but that's like saying, if you can't get up for playing, then you know if you're only going to play because of the playoffs, then you're no good. Who are you kidding?
You got to look at it too. I mean, look at Darian Durant. There was a guy that they said couldn't win the big game either. He lost it back to back years. He broke through last year. And stats wise, they're very similar.
And you know what? The rest of
the I see the thing. And the thing with Darian Durant, like Manasseh called this months ago, and I know y'all can remember this when I say it. If Darian Durant slumps anyway, and the writer's going to lose a streak, the fans are going to call for him to be yanked.
It's true. Well, that's not just Regina. That happens in most cities when teams go on losing streaks.
Yeah.
Not everybody has a Kevin Glenn as a backup. So, you know.
Sure don't. That's it, Frank. That's the number one statement.
But
everybody has him as
clear,
a backup.
Though, guys. He's the starter out of the gate here. And, Travis Lule will have to
play
his way back into the lineup if Glenn does well, you know?
Ooh, train.
I hope nobody was in front of that train.
Right. But you know what, though? It's not like it's
sorry, guys. I'm running on a box.
Currently,
thought I told you. No, I'm just kidding.
It's Kevin Glenn's first rodeo.
Running on a boxcar.
Oh, okay.
I hear you.
Not like
you're right, Mike. It is not his first rodeo. He has done this, been there, done it, seen it, tried it, got the T-shirt more than any other quarterback in this league right now. And I for one, am very pleased that he is playing on my team at this point in time as a starter.
Look.
Yes, sir. I agree on that one.
I want something.
I think Davey has an opinion.
We got a good little Italian here.
There you go.
Now, you know what, Frank? I want to ask Bruce a question, then he can probably update us on this. Hey, Bruce, what's the quarterback situation down there with Mazzoli having a good preseason compared to Zach Caleros?
I think you – what do you mean? To Dan LeFever.
They did what now?
You mean compared to Dan LeFever for the second string?
Yeah. Yeah, for
the
second string.
Is Caleros a lock or not?
Oh, absolutely.
Or is there a...
Absolutely. Okay. And no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Caleros
right, Mike,
is the boy.
That's
what you're asking, right? I think Mazzoli will be our number two, and LeFever will fall down at number three.
Okay, because I was reading an article. They were saying that Mazzoli might be the future quarterback for the Argos. I mean, not for the Argos, but for the Ticats, because they were real raving about him, which I knew, you know, Mazzoli's
yeah, you've always talked good about
college,
him,
man.
I remember you've always talked good about him. But, he'll be our number two. I can maybe a few years down the road, but, you know, when Zach moves on or whatever, and or if he chokes, which could happen, you never know, right? But I gotta say,
he looked good under a lot of double blue.
Yeah. Well, apparently he didn't play that many. I don't know. How much did he play? He went to the game.
He played a lot.
How did he look? Compared,
he played at least half the game.
Did he?
Oh yeah. I know
that one dude from Dallas. I'm trying to remember his name. He got burned a lot. I'm surprised they kept him on.
Well, you know, they're paying him a lot of money.
Who's Zach?
He has a lot. Yeah, he has talent, and he has a great coach.
That's right. That's right. And like I said, he's got one thing that Henry Burris didn't have, and that's a willingness to not change, but set a pattern that Burris wants right from the get-go. I'm not saying Henry Burris was a crappy quarterback. By all means, he got us to the Grey Cup. He was awesome, awesome. But I don't think he was fully able to change over to what Coach Austin wanted. How's that?
That's adaptable.
Why they parted ways, you know?
Good assessment. Good.
Yep. I said that last year in the preseason.
Yeah.
Just to follow up what you guys were saying, Caleros against Toronto, 13 of 18, 196 yards and a touchdown.
That's not too bad.
Yep.
Not too bad at all.
You know?
I'd be happy with that performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, five incompletions, that's not bad, man. That's not bad.
In a loss?
Well, I know.
Preseason, that's the only loss you get against us, bud.
Mm-hmm.
He only played half the game.
Yeah.
You can't blame a loss on him.
No. I'm just saying.
Our second half sucked. Plain and simple. You know, plain and simple.
Looked like us from last year.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Right.
A repeat, yeah. But just opposite. But anyway, boys, on that note, I'm going to let you guys go. And we will talk to you Wednesday night. For now, everybody have an awesome day on Tuesday. Enjoy Wednesday. Drive safe, Mike. Good night, Christopher. Who else we got? Still got Kelly on here?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Good night,
Charles.
Kelly. Good night, Christopher.
Good night, Charles.
Good night, Frank.
Flip is here, too.
And good night, Flip.
Flip is his last name. Charles is his first name.
Charles.
Yep.
Charles. Flip. And Storm, if you still got your mic on, man. Have a good
one.
We'll talk. Okay, well, we'll talk. I'll let you guys wrap it up, and I'll talk to you guys Wednesday, man. Have a great night.
Ciao.
Have a good night.
Before we run away.
Brother, catch you later.
Before we run away, Frank, what's the story on our Friday night shows? We basically said that it's not a good idea when there's football games on, but there isn't a football game this weekend on Friday. Are we going to have a show or not?
Well, I suppose if there's no game,
we should have a show.
We could have a show.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
The only thing is,
I'm
sorry Bruce just went, but it was ridiculous trying to have a conversation about football when there's three football games on.
Yeah.
Without question.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah, totally impossible.
We're impossible.
What a distraction.
I'll pick up the extra tab for doing the Friday. No worries.
Well, is it an extra tab?
Fridays are double.
Are they?
No.
I didn't know that.
It's all covered under one. Don't worry about it. I was just kidding.
I thought it was so much a month.
It is so much a month. It's like the cable bill.
Do you want us to volunteer for this at all, Frank? I know we've touched this a couple times, and you've always said no. A monetary contribution to the cause.
No.
You sure?
Okay.
Okay. I just want to make sure that...
I didn't realize that offer was there.
Of course it is.
No.
It's always been there.
Sure?
I've told you that
a
couple times.
You want to know the truth, I'd be an idiot to say no.
Okay.
But we can work something out, man.
We can make contributions, you know, donate.
No. It's not that much, number one. Number two, I like doing this. And with 90 seconds left, I'm just wondering what I would have to sacrifice in taking the money. Would I have to give up one of my children?
I want to watch it.
And like on cue, Davey kicks in.
Yeah, he
good for him.
Davey
I appreciate that, and we can discuss that. It's not a. I've spent more money on stuff to make the show work, like cameras and microphones. When you multiply it times 12, yeah, I guess it is a lot of money. But I've spent a lot more money on other things other than the airtime. I'm not crying in my beer here, guys. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to make a point with you guys to understand where it comes from. But I appreciate the offer.
There's a saying I've always got, and it's whenever I look at something and I look at how much it's going to cost me, and then I sit back and I said, I've spent a lot more money on dumber things.
Exactly. That's the way I look at it. You're 100% right, Christopher.
That's a good way to think.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Yeah.
I derive a lot of satisfaction doing this, and once I stop deriving satisfaction from it, you will not be seeing, you will not be worrying about calling this program because there won't be one. But as long as I enjoy it, okay, we got to go. 10 seconds left.
Call it a night.
Yeah, we're going to call it a night. And
alrighty,
Charles, I apologize for referring to his Cliff.
Oh, it's okay. You're not there. I've been called worse.
So have I.
Good night, guys.
Good night, guys.
Have a good night, guys.
All right, good night, everyone. See y'all later. Hey, Ebb. Hey, Sid. Hey, my elite status drivers. Peace.
Mike Townsend.
Hey.
Mike Townsend, Christopher Jones, Charles Cliff, Stevie Argo Nut Richardson, and, of course, Kelly. He made it sound like his last name isn't Bale. It's Bale. Because that's how you say it.
And Davey. Don't forget Davey.
And
Davey.
It's Dave Bale. Dave Bale.
Dave.
David Bale. Yeah.
All
Take
right.
Care,
listen,
guys.
Everybody, thanks for tuning in. This has been, of course, our version of radio style. CFL is the best football in the world. And I also want to remind you that Lion's Den is where Christopher hangs his hat most times. And a great page as well. And for myself, I have Double Blue as one of the pages. I have the Argo Boat logo page with John Granger. I'm not going to admit on that one, but, you know, a lot of great pages for you folks and groups to follow the CFL. It is an amazing year that we are about to embark on. And I'm telling you, the anticipation is killing me, as I know it is for everyone else. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. This has been Blog Talk Radio. Candid Frank, live, signing out. CFL is the best football in the world. If you don't believe me, just check it out. You just might find out I'm telling you the truth. Have a great one, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday when there are no games. Let me make that clear.